It's really good to be here. And it's amazing. You know, we went to come, and of course our clock in the hotel room was about 45 minutes slow, which I didn't realize. I just, you know. And I got into my car and put the GPS address in, and it said no such address. Yeah, it's true. And I thought, great, you know, now what do we do? But this is normal. We always have unusual things happen to us, and you just wouldn't believe the things that happened to my wife and I. But I thought, well, that's okay, I'm going to get around this. So I put Church of God, Shelton, and came up on the GPS. And it said the roads were all unpaved. You sure you really want to go there? But amen, we made it here, and we're glad to be here. You know, we're living in very, very interesting times. And we don't actually live in Albany, we live in East Portland or Gresham, and we travel about 100 miles, almost about 100 miles there and 100 miles back when we have church. And that's kind of made it interesting, but it's kind of been a blessing in disguise as well. And there was a time we lived down there for about 3 years, and in a Sunday school room that was there was no insulation in the walls, and it was in the bell tower. And the wind would blow, and it got so cold. We got sick all the time, and I said, that's it, I'm finished with this. And but it was through all that, we wanted the people to see that we've been missionaries for over 30 years, that we wanted them to know that we have a love for God, that we want them to see our lives, that we're there not because of what we can get, because of what God said. And I, certainly with all the things we've been through there, I began to wonder if I'd have missed God. And the Lord said to me, really spoke to my heart and said, Chris, have I called you? And I said, yes, you have. I believe you have. And he said, when I called you, what do I expect? And I said, well, you expect me to be faithful to the calling and to commit my way to you. And he said, did I promise you that everything would be, you know, according to what you would like? And I said, no, it was according to you. He said, that's right. And so I want you to be faithful to me in my call upon your life, whether there's one person, 100 people, 1,000 people, 1,000,000 people, trillions, it doesn't matter. It's not the numbers that really matter, and it's not the amount of money that matters, and it's not even all the sensational things that matter. What really matters at the end of the day is our faithfulness to our calling. And we're called to serve the living God. And I have he's coming back in my mind that when we get to heaven, we're not going to be rewarded for what we've done or where we've been or any of these things. We're going to be rewarded for our faithfulness. Can you say amen? And sometimes we get caught up in the things of this world and we miss what God wants to do. And so I said, Lord, I don't understand this. I was a national leader in England, and I was the head of a missionary organization and in China, and Why? And the Lord says, it's not for you to question why. It's for you to obey my voice. And now what are you going to do? I said, okay. That's okay. It's fine with me. That's exactly what we will do. And that's what we've done. It's just, I wouldn't change anything, because God's proved himself to be faithful to us. He's helped us. He's moved upon our behalf. And does it go against all logic? Absolutely and completely. You know, it goes against all logic. Has it been the way I expected? No, not at all. But whether you're a preacher or whether you are not a preacher or just somebody who's been born again, the truth still remains. We are here not because of just of the music. And if you come just for the music, then the music you'll be hearing in eternity won't be kind of like the music you're hearing now. It'll be devilish music. Because if you come just for me, I had people in my church who left the church and said, well, we don't come for the word. We only come for music. And we don't want to hear the word. The word, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and life. That's Jesus is the word. And I've been struck at the days in which we live in. And I'm looking around me, and when I first got saved in 1972, I studied eschatology for a couple of years. Ology means the study of, esca means the end times. And the amazing thing is, the things that we studied, how many years ago is that? If we begin, it's a lot. I guess it is a lot. It's, yes, 40 years. You're right. So the things we studied 40 years ago, that kind of is a joy drainer in some ways. You know, man, I'm older than I thought I was, you know. The fact of the matter is, the things that we studied are the things that we're living today. And I just want to, this is in my heart to share. It has nothing to do with my sermon. I may never preach it, and I really don't care, to be honest with you. You know, I feel like God wants to do something new, is doing something new. And I've been asking the Lord, what is it that you're doing? Because my prayer is that when there's a move of God, it's always the former move that opposes the latter move. Because when there's a move of God that takes place, the former people understood what God was doing, and like the disciples, when they went up to the Mount of Transfiguration, what did they do? They built three tents. Oh, Lord, it's good for us to be. What are you doing? We will make a monument out of anything. But, you know, they kind of missed the whole thing. And so in the previous moves of God, and you can look at the various moves, and I'm not, you know, they were genuine, bona fide moves of God. People were saved, things happened, things were changed. And I thank God for all those things, but that is not today. You know, the earth's been spinning on its axis, and it's been going around the sun, and our sun is on its where it moves through space, and our galaxy moves through space, and everything's in movement, and nothing is the same. And what was true a year ago is not true today. Nothing remains the same. The only thing that remains the same is God. And so, you know, when Jesus came to Jerusalem, he came riding on a donkey, a baby donkey, a colt, and the Sadducees and the Pharisees and the religious leaders, this was going to be a visitation of God, and they missed it because it wasn't dressed in the way that they expected. Now, if Jesus had been on a big white horse, a big charger with a big army, and they had nice looking polished armor on, and they looking good, you know what I'm saying? They'd have been into that. But it came as an affront to them. And every move of God, every visitation of God that we experience is usually an affront to our thinking and to our carnality. And so here we've seen previous moves of God, and we've seen things that happen, but what God's about to do has nothing to do with what we've had. And the danger is that we will oppose the next move of God because of what we've already experienced. Well, it's not dressed the way, it doesn't look the same, doesn't feel the same. No, because it isn't the same. You know, it's like moving from China back to America. It's not the same. You know, America will never be China. China will never be America. That's just the way it is. And the old move of God will never be the new move of God. The new move of God will never be the old move of God. But we can be part of the new move of God. Amen. And I asked the Lord, what is this new move of God? What is it? I need to find out. Well, it was only as I went through a series of things since I've been down there in Albany, going through the insanity at times of what's gone on down there, that I began to thank the Lord that he used that to open my eyes. Are you with me? The Lord says, do you really want to know? Do you really want to be ready? Do you really want to have a new wineskin? It's, oh yeah, well, okay, but why do I have to go through this? Well, you said you wanted to have a new wineskin. But that's not what I expected. No, he said, that's what you asked me. Are you with me here? Are you understand what we're talking about? Do you want to have new wineskin or don't you?
Amen.
Well, yes, we do. Because the new wine, you're going to have a new wineskin. So what does that mean? It means that there's change, but the change that we go through is not always the change that we expect. It's not quite what we envision. So I said, Lord, what is this? And I will share with you. And this week, I've been doing a series that I never have completed yet. And I'm probably just going to write a book, I think. I'm probably one way to finish it. The rapture will probably come. But I've written a book already. I never had it published. I'm going to have to publish it. Now, I've got two more that the Lord spoke to me I need to write, and I'll write them. And one of them is going to be on the blood. And I want to share some of the things that God's put in my heart while I'm here this week. And one of the things I want to preach on is a vision the Lord gave me about the cedar wood that they use when the leper went. We're going to talk about it a little bit later. We'll talk more of that later. And we'll see what else the Lord has, and then we'll see what God says. But I want to share some of these with you. And I said, Lord, what is this move of God? And he said, Chris, it has nothing to do with signs and wonders and miracles, or that's part of it. If you look just for the signs, wonders, and miracles, you will miss what God's doing. It has nothing to do with the shaking and the convulsions and all the other stuff. Now, were those things not from God when they happened? Yes, sometimes they were not from God, and sometimes they were. And I don't really care, to be quite frank with you. I'm interested about the now. And if you kind of have grabbed a hold of that and made that your God, made that your tabernacle, then you will not enter into what God has for you today. Hello? Because when God begins to move, you will always interpret it in your own thinking, in your own heart. So I have to do this. No, you don't have to do anything. Well, and now we around what's happened is a lot of Christian circles I've been around, a lot of churches are now trying to manufacture something. What can we do to get the people in? What can we do to get the money? And when I saw some guys toking, they said, oh, you got to toke on Jesus. What the nut? What the? Hello? What? I believe in having a dose of the ghost, but not the way they were having it. You know, let's shoot up with the Holy. Well, hello. And so it's not about someone's. Oh, that's good. There's a new move of God breaking out in so and so. No, there's not. It's just another little shaky thing over here. And it's becoming like very new agey to me. But I'm not interested in that. I'm not interested. I want to hear from God. I want what God wants. And it isn't found in the palace. And it isn't found in the place of sensuality. It isn't found in the place of gold and silver. It's found in the heart. That's where it's found. And the Lord began to speak to me. He said, Chris, this new move of God is going to happen right here. You don't have to fly over here and fly over there and drive here and drive there and do this and do that and go to this church and that church to this church. You need to be right where I've planted you, and you need to be faithful to me and faithful to the calling, and let me do a work in you. You, it is imperative that you take your place where God has called you and be where God has called you and labor where God has called you and be faithful to the place that God has called you and believe God to help you and to change you. Are you with me? So I believe the Spirit of God is moving, and He's been moved. There's a whole brand new move of the Spirit that's taking place, and a lot of folks are blind to it and are deaf to it. Because God is speaking to our hearts. See, There's a lot of things that are going on in America right now. The Lord spoke to me when I left China, and He said, Chris, the day will come that it will be more desirous to live in China than it will be America. And I've lived in those days already. I watched what happened in England happening in America. But I want to tell you this, and I want you to listen very carefully. God is shaking things up because the church, for the main part, not everybody, but the church overall has become sensual. It has lost, it goes through motions, it looks good, it sounds good, but it is puke in the mouth of God. But there's, I believe that God loves the people in America, and I believe He loves the people in England and loves the people in the world. And I believe, I still believe, I feel a great excitement from what I've been seeing taking place, because God is revealing the reality of the church and our relationship with Jesus Christ. When you can go to church and it's okay to sleep with somebody next to you or have adultery, it's okay, something is wrong. It's okay to be dishonest. It's okay as long as you keep paying the tithe, that is. See, there has to be righteousness in every move of God. There always has to be righteousness. A turning, a repenting. And the Lord is moving in us. He wants to move in us. He can't move the way He wants to move because there's too much of us in the way. I've got a tap outside my house, and I went to water my lawn. I've had one of those times when I went outside, lifted up my sprinkler system, the thing where you turn the tap on and off, lifted it up, it slipped out of my hand, hit the pipe and broke it in half. I said, that's, forget it. You know, I thought, and then I turned my air conditioner on, it quit working. You ever have some of those things? But they were actually blessings in disguises. I kind of enjoy going out in the morning and early in the morning or maybe late at night and just watering the lawn. But I have this outside tap and it broke. You might as well. Everything else is breaking, you know. And as that's going on, it dawned on me, That's where a lot of us are. We're like broken taps. God wants to have, He wants to flow, that living water wants to flow through us and out of us, but something's broken. And what's broken is us. There's something of us in the way. And God wants to remove us so there can be a flow. So why? There's a drought in the land. Hello? There's a drought. The land needs to be watered. But the tap is broken, the water's there, but it ain't working. And so God is exposing everything now so He can fix the system so God can move the way He wants to move. So I look at the church, I feel encouraged because God's shaking it. And I feel encouraged by a lot of American Christians, because a lot of them are rising up now and believing, and they're letting God have His way in their heart and life. See, it's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about how great you are, how ungreat you are, what successes you have or what failures you have. It's not about how tall you are, how short you are, how fat you are, how skinny you are. It's about surrendering to Jesus Christ and giving up those things that you hold dear to yourself and giving up those things that sometimes weigh you down, laying them upon the altar. Letting go. And I'm going to preach about that this week, so make sure you come and bring your friends and neighbors and even your enemies. God wants to move. And He's going to have His way. And I'm excited for the church. God begins to speak to me about in all kinds of ways. And one of the things that surprised me, and you may have heard some of these things. You know, I'm looking at this end time scenario. Here's Saudi Arabia. And I don't know if you heard about this or not. Maybe I share with this with your pastor. Maybe he shared with you. Maybe he shared before I even shared with him. I don't know. But here's Saudi Arabia. They want to have nuclear weapons. They're getting afraid of Iran. So they make a deal with China to get missiles with nuclear warheads in exchange for oil, the oil they want, until 2035, and about $60 billion. So now China's sending troops into Saudi Arabia to protect their assets. What? So this. Now I know why China will be coming down. At the same time, we know that his Israel, this little speck, this little nation, surrounded by its enemies that has just been, it's just a miracle of God that's even survived. Incidentally, let me just throw this in here. It's nothing to do with my sermon, but it's, you know, I'm into this, so I'm going to throw it out to you. It's interesting, the Arab Spring that's going on. The people who left my church said, oh, this is a good thing. I said, no, it's not. Oh, yeah, the oppressiveness of a dictator is being thrown off. But what's going to be in its place? Oh, they said it's democracy. No, it is not democracy. There's a spirit behind this, and the goal is for the destruction of Israel. And I just want to say this, that our president, we're going to pray for that guy, because he said the Muslim Brotherhood is a good thing. It's not a good thing. And when in Egypt, when the Muslim Brotherhood got voted in, and just pay attention to this now, the leader got up, the guy who's been elected, and stated their capital is not Cairo, it's Jerusalem. That's what he said. And they will not rest until every Jew is dead. And now they're doing war games, or plan on doing war games with Iran. And now we have Syria. And let me just say this. America's just decided to give arms and money to the rebels. Well, who are these rebels? These are Islamists. And let me tell you what they're doing, in case you don't know. There's a genocide of Christians taking place in Syria right now like never before. Christians are fleeing for their lives. And they said they want every Christian dead. So here's all this chaos going. And in the meantime, there's chaos in the church. There's chaos in our nation. There's chaos in the economy. There's chaos everywhere. Ahmadinejad says, well, great, yeah, because the Mahdi is going to return in a time of chaos and bloodshed. Well, all right, God bless you. You know, we'll see what happens. But here's Israel in the middle of it. And what's going on with Israel? Well, this is rather interesting. My brother-in-law works for Microsoft. And he's an IT engineer, bless his heart. And he was one of the first guys to have the Kinect thing. You know what I'm talking about? This game with the three, you stand in front of it and it picks up your movements. Who knows what I'm talking about? Okay, everybody knows what I'm talking about. Do you know where that was developed? Israel. USB Israel. Most of the new inventions came from Israel. So much so that Microsoft moved a large part of its research and development team to Israel. Now listen. All of a sudden, my wife and I were invited to Singapore when we were in Hong Kong. They were inviting all the American missionaries to come there for a conference. I think Joyce Myers actually helped pay for that and support it. And while we were there, we met this man who was from Texas, who was a born-again, spirit-filled believer, and he believed there was oil in Israel. And he said, Chris, I'm going to Israel. I'm going to dig for oil, drill for oil there. I believe what the scripture says. Now listen, I believe he's part of this thing called the Zion Oil and Natural Gas Company. They have made three of the biggest discoveries this century, or probably beyond that. Today, the first two discoveries alone in the, get this, the Leviathan Reserve or basin, and the Tamar Basin Reserve, whatever they call it, has more oil than Saudi Arabia. Are you hearing me? That's only the beginning, and it's right where my friend went to drill. I'm going to get a hold of that boy. And they said there's more, but that doesn't count the natural gas. And there's huge natural gas deposits there. The Dead Sea has 85% of the world's natural minerals and a lot of resources in it. And when the Bible says he wants to bring Russia down and put hooks in the jaw of Russia and bring it down from the north, hello, I can see. Now Russia's sending its armada of ships, warships down into the Strait of Hormuz and straight down that whole area. Well, you know why? And the Arab nations are furious that Israel has made these discoveries, because Israel, because of its natural resources, its oil and gas reserves that they now have, and because of its intellect, I mean, its inventions, etc., will become one of the most richest nations in the world. Amen. Now listen to me. Here is all these Jewish people who felt God speak to them. They left everything behind and went back to Israel. And it seemed like there was not much there, and just a little speck. But what happens? They stand right now in the possibility of becoming some of the most wealthiest people in the world. Listen to me. What's true physically is true spiritually. I believe the Lord's shaking His people. I tell you, things ain't what they used to be, and they never will be again, thank God. And God is dealing with us. He's getting rid of that religious spirit. When I was in China, we discovered in China, the big problem with the underground church and the three-self church were the political people, especially in the three-self church. And the political people would always watch you, everything you did. They would always criticize and find fault and tries to call, always causing trouble. Well, I said, man, I told my friend, I said, listen, he was the minister of religion for the largest province in China, responsible for thousands and thousands of churches. I said, in the West, we call that a religious spirit. Political, religious, religious, political, it's the same thing. But God is going to have a people unto Himself. And so there's been a separating of the wheat from the tares, the sheep from the goats, and it's coming through times when of difficulty. In other words, God's checking your motives. One thing I've noticed, when I was in China and I preached, people were overjoyed to hear the word. They were weeping and crying out. And I had all these leaders, they all had churches of 4,000 or more people in them. This was a government church. These were saved people, specially chosen for the meetings that we had. And I thought, I better make sure these boys are saved. So I prayed the sinner's prayer, and they prayed right after. They didn't get affronted and angry and storm out. They just said, oh, thank you. Prayed the prayer. I prayed for them to get filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke in tongues. At least that's what I was told. And God began to move. We had to mop the tears up. There were literally puddles of tears on the floor when we got done. Puddles. They weren't upset or offended because of the word. They wanted to hear the word. They valued the word. They honored the word. I remember being in Albany and I preached a sermon called Kingdom Authority. I'll never forget it. It'll live on in memorial in my life. It said, obey those that have the rule over you, submit to those that have the rule over you, remember those that have the rule over you, and honor those that have the rule over you. They said, we ain't standing for that, and they all left. They told me, there's been a shift, and you're not in it. I said, okay. And they all shifted out, or the majority shifted out. 85% church shifted. But I've been getting phone calls recently. I got a phone call from one guy, and he said, listen, you remember me? I said, oh yeah, I remember you. You're the prophet. You're the guy with all the prophetic words. You're the guy who wrote the word of the shift. So how's that shifting going? He said, well, it's been horrible. I'm down here in California. I'm living with a prophet, but we got no money, and I got nowhere to go. Do you think I can come back and stay at the church? I said, I guess that shift didn't work out very well for you, did it? Another guy just came to my office, came to church on Sunday, first time he's been back in over a year, and he just said, you know, Pastor, I want to just tell you I'm sorry for the things that we did. I want to apologize to you. I forgot that you've been in the ministry for 40 years, almost 40 years. I forgot that you have a record, you have credibility in your ministry. I don't know what happened, but as we all talked, all these things sounded good, and we felt we were right, and I got caught up in it. And I said, well, how's all that going for all these folks? So everyone's scattered. They're into false religions. They're into orgies and drugs and alcohol and weird stuff. I said, I guess that shift didn't work out. But I tell you this, you're welcome to come back here. We love you and we care about you, and you're welcome to be here. So God is, and that man is a changed man. There's repentance in his heart. There's repentance in life. And that's what God wants. He wants true repentance. Not this, you know, who are you? I had people rise up. I preach the word. I'm a preacher. I was out there. I want to tell you, like John the Baptist, you know, eating locusts and honey. That's how I felt like. Came back to America and I preached the word and people got offended. I thought they'd be excited. It's, how dare you? Who told you? And no one told me anything. But if the shoe fits, maybe you'd have come up here and chew some carpet. Maybe you need to get excited rather than offended about what God's saying. See, they got the wrong guy. I'm an Englishman. I've been in the mission field too long. I know God. I know who He is. And I'm not here to please people. I never have, never will. I don't care if no one goes with me. If that's the call of God and God confirms it, I'm there. And I'll put my shore plow and I'll plow by myself. I don't care. And so we need to hear the word of God. You need to hear the word of God. I need to hear the word of God. And sometimes, let me just, anybody ever want to, I want a prophetic word. Anybody ever feel that way? I remember years ago I said, Lord, I want a word, I want a word. Well, I got one, but it wasn't one I thought, it was a rebuke. I never asked for a word anymore after that. I was in Hong Kong with a whole bunch of pastors there, and Cindy Jacobs was there and her husband, and I hid. I didn't want no word. I said, man, forget it, baby. But you know what? She picked me out. She looked around and just somebody ducked down and they saw me. You know, and these are Chinese folk, you know what I'm saying? They're a whole lot littler than us. And we got Filipinos in there, they're little as well. Just check my wife out. And I ain't that tall, but over there I was a giant. And I had a word. And thank God it was a word of encouragement. And it was a slight rebuke because things I just needed to step out and believe God in. And I thank God for it. We became very close friends. We became good friends after that. And so the thing is, do you want... This is what the Lord wants to ask you. Do you want to hear the word of God? Why are you serving God? Why are you living for God? Is it for what? For promotion? Promotion? To climb the ladder? For money? For popularity? For people to see you? To have authority? To have control? To be worshipped? To see how great that you are? Why are you living for God? Are you living for God on His terms or your terms? If it's His terms... If it's His terms, then He may just bring a word of correction. And then what are you going to do? I'm leaving this. I'm out of here. Okay, buddy, go ahead and walk. But I want to tell you, sooner or later, you'll be walking again because you're going to get that. God's going to speak to you. I had a lady come to our church at our conference, in fact, when we did it. And she came in. I never didn't know who she was. And we fed her in the morning for breakfast. We fed her in the afternoon. We helped her and blessed her. People started telling me they're having problems with this lady, so I went to speak to her. And she looked up at me and she says, "You know what? I don't like you." Get in line. You know, I even like me sometimes. So you know, it doesn't really affect me that much. I don't like you and I don't trust you. I said, "Well, I don't trust you either. But I am the pastor of this church." She says, "Well, I don't like what's going on here." I said, "Well, look, I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to take a little walk, and because some of the guys came with me, and we walked down the hallway, and some of you guys may have seen this. I don't know if you were there. I walked down the hall to the front door, and we opened the front door, and I said, "Look, As you go out the door, you'll notice there's about 3 or 4 steps. Be very careful. Don't fall when you go down them. When you get to the bottom of those steps, there's a pathway that leads to the sidewalk. When you hit the sidewalk, you can go left or you can go right, but you're not welcome here. Hello? Now, why wouldn't that excite you? You should be... Well, we want people in the church because we want numbers. We want to look good. What the heck is wrong with you? Do you want a move of God or you want a move of humanity? The lady rang me up sometime later and says, well, I apologize. I said, okay, good. Well, I want to come back to church. I said, no, I told you when you left, go back to the church you came from. Well, I had an argument with that pastor. I said, well, you better go put it right. But you're not coming back here. You go back to your old church. You talk to your pastor. You speak. She said, well, I need a place to live and I need someone to run me around town and I need food and I need money. I said, okay, well, you know, what's that got to do with me? Has nothing to do with me. You go back and you put things right. Maybe the condition you're in right now is because you are not living for God. And you're a troublemaker. Now, I'm an Englishman. Don't mess with me. Okay? I'm just telling you. So what I'm saying is this. I feel, and I'm hoping to get some sermon here. But I feel this. I feel it's time that we come before God on His terms and not our own. Huh? It's time that we ask God for a word, and if He speaks to us, we don't get angry and get mad. It's time that we start repenting. And if we have to walk our little selves up to the front and make an altar, or where we're at, I don't care where you make an altar, and someone said, well, you don't have an altar in your church. So what do you mean you don't have an altar? Well, you got to have it made like this, and you don't have one. So what the heck is wrong with you? What are you talking about? An altar that I'm talking about is a meeting place with God. And you can kneel right where you're at for all I care. And if you need to, you need to come up front and kneel in front of everybody and make a public declaration or do something. But you need to respond and get rid of all this nonsense because we're living for God today. And God is about to move. And there will be signs and wonders and miracles. And God is going to have it. Let me tell you what's happened to my wife and I. I'm at my house. And we're just asking the Lord to help us. Lord, you have your way. Your way, not my way. Maybe that's why one of the names for God is Yahweh. Yahweh, not my way. With an American accent, it works. Yahweh. And I lost my whole train of thought in that. It's got to be God's way. What was I saying before I said that? Oh, yeah, yeah. My wife says, okay, Lord, your way, not our way, whatever you want to do. So my air conditioner breaks down, and through a series of events, it's kind of odd, I call this guy, and he comes to my house. In fact, he came the day I spoke to him, which is unusual and it's very hot because he had just finished a job and was going right by my house to his next job and he was going from one side of Portland to the other and I was in the middle. So he stopped on by and he checks it out. He says, oh, my back. Oh, man, can you carry this? I said, yeah. Well, And so in the course of time, I said, well, would you like to let me pray for you? And he looks at me and says, what? I said, I can pray for you. He said, well, we have a Bible study I go to. He said, we've been talking about healing for ages. I said, has anybody prayed for it? No, we just talk about it. Kind of reminds me of church, doesn't it, huh? We just get together and talk about it, you know, and oh, yeah, and rate it. You know, guys at the back, 10, 8, 4, 1, you know. Oh, he gets a gold medal today. He may just get checked out and removed, you know. He says, you're going to pray for me? I said, well, yeah. So I prayed when he got healed. He says, my pain's gone. I said, I prayed for you. What do you expect? I know this comes as a shock to you, but this is how God works. Tears well up in his eyes and he starts weeping. He starts hugging me. He said, I'm not going to charge you for this. For this. I said, man, bless God. And I said, look, that's no problem with me, whatever you want to do. And he's just taken back. He didn't know what to do. He said, well, look, let me see what I can do for you and I'll get back to you. I said, okay, great. And so in the meantime, I had a driving up here once. I had a truck pull in front of me and a stone flew up and hit my windshield and it started to crack. And so back in February, I had to get a new windshield. I called my insurance company and they said, your insurance is covered, but you do have a $500 deductible. And I said, well, how much is the windshield? They said, about $600. I said, what's the sense of having insurance then? But anyhow, I called the insurance and called the windshield company and said, yeah, we can do it for $200. I said, well, amen, that's a switch. And so, in fact, I think eventually $150 is what they did. But anyhow, they did the windshield, but my windshield wiper kept clicking. It wasn't hitting anything. I couldn't figure out. So in the process, my mother died. My wife's mother got real sick. We had to go back to the Philippines. And I thought, well, it's too late now. You know, we come back and it's still, and we're just driven. It's clear. I said, oh, Lord, I don't know what to do. You know, maybe you can help me. I get home. Listen to me. The phone rings. It's the windshield company. They said, how's it going with that job we did? I said, well, you know, everything's great except for the clicking. We'll send somebody out there tomorrow. The guy comes to my house. He comes into my house and we started talking. And I started sharing with him and he asked questions. And pretty soon he's hugging me. He's weeping, asking me to pray for him. He canceled all of his appointments for the rest of the day. You see, God wants to use us. You don't have to go on an outreach to be used. You know, you don't have to be in church. Just say, Lord, here I am. Just be willing. You be willing. Wherever you're at, God will begin to move. If you're willing, He'll move. Everywhere my wife and I go, we share with people. And things just happen. God brings people to us continuously. That's how I, every day. And I said, Lord, you know, well, how's this? He said, Chris, I said, I don't feel called to four walls. You know, I feel like, you know, I can't handle just a little, you know, just four walls. I don't give you a 500. That's not where I'm at. And the Lord says, that's right. Your parish is the world. Wherever you are, that's the people I've sent you to. Wherever you're at, that's the people that God sent you to. Now, is it wrong to have a church? No. It's okay. As long as we have a correct understanding. See, God's going to have His way. With you or without you, He's going to have His way. He really, really is. And I believe in this church, what I feel is, it's going to be with you. And all over the place, I have friends all over the world. I've preached all over the world. I probably preached 50, 60 nations. I want to tell you, the feedback I'm getting from my friends worldwide is that there's a separating taking place. 2010, 1.5 million people, or 2.5 million people in America quit going to church. 36,000 churches closed and 6,000 churches started. What's going on? God's going to have a people unto Himself. People, we don't come to church to be entertained. We come to church to hear the Word of God, to sharpen us up, to hear the Word of God, and though it strike us in the heart, God deal with you. We should be rejoicing because God's preparing us. See, faith is not a particular action. People know, oh, you know, why aren't we seeing the dirt raised and people come in the wheelchairs? Well, I have seen those things. But it's more than just a particular action. Faith is a lifestyle. It's what goes on in our lives daily. That's faith. Our lives should be a life of faith, believing God through the good times and the bad times. Yeah. See, one of the biggest things I've had to learn, and forgive me, I don't know why I'm going along these lines here. I had no intention of doing this. One of the reasons is that one of the things that I've learned is is that I began to discover how great God is. How great He is. How powerful He is. How small we have made God. We've made this great omniscient God, and we've made Him very, very small. We've made Him into like a white-haired old man who's kind of kind. And and once we've succeeded in doing that, our carnal mind will always seek to justify what a godly conscience says is wrong. Amen? As soon as that happens, as soon as we justify that to us, then now God is this kind old man, then it's okay for us to act like a bunch of morons. Because now we can do this and we can do that and it's okay. No, it's not okay. Now, I mentioned a few minutes ago that they struck oil in Israel. And it stands right now, in all probability, as becoming one of the most richest nations in the world. And as I thought about that, what hit me is that God, as He's separating the wheat from the chaff, and as we're going through all of these things and God's dealing with our hearts and we're yielding and surrendering to the Lord, we're about to tap into something that's going to release one of the greatest moves of God ever. Doesn't have to do with geographical location, it has to do with the location of your heart. God is about to bless us and prosper us, not as the world sees, but as God sees. And I see the power of God. See, oil, what does oil represent? Anointing. Power. And I see us, I see God raising up His people, and through their humility, and through their yielding, through their surrendered lives, that welcome the Word of God, whether it reproves, corrects, rebukes, or instructs, rejoicing and honoring God, and not themselves, honoring God, and as they do that in a yielded way, God is going to orchestrate something. God's going to orchestrate it, not you, not me. You can try, but you ain't going to go anywhere on this now. God's going to bring forth a gushing. And there is going to come such a release of the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit that you and I have longed to see this day, but how you get there is not how we expect it. Now, how many folks here want that? You want to be used? Let me see your hand. All right, well, I'm encouraged. I was looking to see if anyone's hand wasn't up, but I can't see the back three or four rows very well, but it looked to me like every hand was up. I'm telling you, you can write it down. You can write it down today. That's what's coming. I want to say this. A lot has been said. I spoke to your pastor about, I think it was Jack Van Ippe, on the 14th of July, had a TV broadcast in which he talked about a book called The Ark of the Millions, like Noah's Ark, but not eight people, millions of people. Did you share this with these folks? It's called about The Ark of the Millions. And in this, the author had researched different cultures. Various cultures, the Tiberian, the Roman, the Greek culture, the Mayan culture. There's something about December 21st, 2012 that we can't ignore. Because in all these cultures, it's not that they say it's going to be the end of the world, but this is what every culture calls December 21st, 2012. Listen to me. They call it the resurrection of the righteous. Now, I am not saying that the rapture is going to happen. It could happen today, it could happen tomorrow, it could happen then. It may not. But I do believe that there's something new coming forth, and it is the resurrection of the righteous. And if you think about Israel, Israel was the tail, and He said, the tail I'll make the head, and the head I'll make the tail. And He's going to exalt that nation and exalt that people and lift them up. He's doing it supernaturally. And that's what God's going to do to the true believer. He is going to be glorified and lifted up. And there's going to come a release of power in the Holy Ghost. And as you're willing to pay the price, as you learn to receive and honor God with the word that He'll give you through people that speak to you, through the preaching of the word, from the reading of the word, however it comes, if you'll honor God, amen, if you receive that correction, receive that rebuke, receive that instruction, all that's happening is, as God is working in you. He's a big God. He's a great God. He loves you. He's for you. He's not against you. He wants good to come. And He's dealing with our lives like never before to clear the way out. He's drilling deep down in us so that what He has can come springing forth. Are you hearing me? It's going to be a gushing. Now the rapture may happen. Hope to God it does. To be honest with you, it'll be a lot of you. I'm looking forward to it. But I believe in that. I believe we're going to experience the greatest move of the Holy Ghost that we've ever experienced. I apologize for not getting to my sermon. That's the way it goes, baby. When I used to go into China, I didn't speak Mandarin. There was 56 different dialects in China. Thank God I had a Canadian friend, a businessman, who spoke perfect Mandarin. But I want to tell you, what we would do is, I thought, how can you bring a sermon that they don't even understand? They wouldn't. They have no. The culturally were different. So what we'd do is we'd pray. We'd all get together and pray. They've been coming for 10 days to meet with us. Secretly, two by two, two and then two, and they would stay in a flat normally on the 12th floor, and there was no elevator. You had to walk those stairs, baby, I'm telling you. And there'd be about 12 locks on the door. But we'd all meet up there, and I tell you what we would do. We would get together, we'd take one of us hand, and we would ask for the anointing, we'd plead the blood of Jesus over that gathering, that God would give us divine and supernatural protection, that He would watch over us, that we plead the blood of Jesus over our ears, that they wouldn't hear the voice of the enemy, and we asked and invited the Spirit of God to come in and anoint our oils with the oil of anointing, that they wouldn't hear the voice of the enemy, they would hear the voice of God. And around that time, as we began to pray and lay hold of the Spirit, lay hold of the Lord and ask Him to help us, you could feel a whoosh a lot of times come into our midst. And I tell you, I began to speak, and I may have spoken an hour and a half, or 2 hours, or even longer. And you know what? I just kept talking. I said, "My brother, take notes, man. Remember, this is good." God just began to speak. And then, all of a sudden, my mind would go blank. And I couldn't say anything because I couldn't think of anything. So we just pray. There was an impartation of the Spirit of God into those people. They met. When they left, they met with their top leaders that they could trust. And they shared the same things. They in turn met with the people they could trust. And what happened is a move of God broke out in central China, and probably hundreds of thousands of people, millions no doubt, got saved. Listen to me. A million starts with one. It starts with you. Your obedience. Your willingness. You're not me, I'm not you. Thank God you aren't me. But God has a plan for all of us. He has good things. He loves us. He cares for us. He has good things for us. And He's weeping for this world. The heart of God has always been for the lost. Always been for the lost. And what struck me recently is the Lord. I said, "Lord, how come I'm kind of like this? Ones and twos over here and I'm meeting these people." And the Lord said, "Because I was willing." He said, "My return is close." And He said, "I care about the lost lamb." And God's going to begin to gather in those that are His. Someone said, "Well, we need revival." No, you don't. The last thing we need is revival. Revive what? Some dead religious structure? Some backbiting, moaning, complaining, grumbling, carnal churchianity? Man, I feel better already. No, we don't need that. What we need is a fresh move of the Holy Ghost. That's what we need. We need a fresh move of the Spirit of God. We need reformation. A fresh move of God upon our lives. I don't know about you, but that's what I want.
Bring it on, Lord.
And the Lord says, "Yeah, you're going to get it as long as you're willing to die." Let her die, baby, let her die. Oh, I feel the breath of God. Let's just stand together. I want us to begin to worship, Lord. I want you to make a... an altar right where you're at. That's your order. Right where you're standing, that's your order. And I want you to ask the Lord to examine your heart. Search me, O God. Psalm 139, and know my heart, I pray. See if there be any wicked way in me. Try me my anxious thoughts, and lead me in the way everlasting. Ask the Spirit of God to examine your heart. If there's things that are there, things that are wrong, repent. Amen. Say, God, I'm sorry. God, I confess these to you according to your word. In 1 John 1:9, I confess, I say what you say about my sin, about my wrongdoing. Lord, forgive me of my sin. Cleanse me from unrighteousness. Lord, it may hurt. It may be what I want to hear, but I want to hear your word. Because I know that your intention for me is good. Hallelujah.